black side of it, you know.
Oh, the whole camp, whole camps, they're loading up to it.
Oh, yeah.
These Israeli machine guns, what do they call them?
The UBC,
yeah.
But I'm gonna say that, I mean, here's big thing with minority parties like that.
That's a good point. Well, you know, frankly, the blacks are fighting each other. They're in the cities fighting each other.
That's no against that, no. Everywhere you go.
We were fighting Greek citizens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I have to give you a harder test here pretty soon.
No, this is fine.
Well, we'll have a quiz at least on diagramming, and that's probably be an equalizer, maybe. Or at least have a lower curve. That's all right. I'm not worried about a high curve. That's a real blessing, actually. Usually figure if you survive this far in Greek, you're going to be in the upper echelons anyway.
You deserve a good grade, right?
Yeah, right, you deserve it.
You say they'll get up this early in the morning.
Yeah.
Greek.
Okay, well, we'll continue some of this diagramming. John 11:45, I think we talked about, I don't know if we actually got it on the board.
Yeah,
we did? We had the whole thing on? Okay. Okay, maybe I'll just...
There was more to it.
Yeah, I think I left off kind of putting that object on it, and I never really talked about it. So let me find my reference here again. John 11:45. Okay, many out of the Jews, once having come toward Mary and having viewed which he did, okay, there was a question about whether it was bow or whole, believed into him. Okay, so your basic structure, we have an own on the line. Okay, I think we have most of this. I'll just put it down again, though, just for a nice, easy one to start off things with. Poloi is your subject, and the verb is epistuthon. And then prepositional phrase, eis ton. And see, many out of the Pharisees, so ek, or ek out of the Jews, ek ton, yudaion. And then we had a participial modifier to poloi here, just further describing who these poloi were. And we have a split here. We have only one article and the branch here, kai. The top line is elphon tes. And prepositional phrase, pros, in. Mariam. And then the Asamanoi, the other participle. It's not really a passive form, it's component, but form is passive. And then for the object of that, beholding that which he did, we have. We'll put this up on a standard simply because we have a whole phrase now occupying the position of the direct object. You're beholding something, and the beholdingness of something you're beholding is that which he did. So there's no specifically stated subject there, but it's contained in the verb. So I poise then third person. And then, depending on your text here, it's either whole or ha here, with a singular plural, as the object of that. So beholding something, the thing you're beholding is that which he did. And now that, even though it comes first in the way even in English we would render it, is the object of this verb, that which he did. He did that. So that's something we have to keep in mind in diagramming and watch for the function of the thing, not so much the order that it's in. Even in English, that which he did, the that comes first.
So watch it with these relative pronouns. Okay, any questions on that? Yes, Dale.
After full before the branch, boy.
Yes.
Branch, is there a vertical line there?
No, there won't be here because there's nothing that separates an article from its noun, and these are both functioning in effect as nouns. And they're not really objects of it. We just split it there only because of the fact that, see, normally we would have just written poi alphon tes just together on the line with nothing separating because the article kind of attached to it. But because of the fact that we have two things governed by the same article, we just split the branch. But we don't have any line here because these are not objects of this or anything. This is just in effect. Now, what could be done, if they adopted the convention of putting the hoi as an adjectival modifier on both of these, we probably wouldn't have had anything on this line, had it split here and had a hoi down here and another hoi down here in parentheses or something. But because of the fact that with Greek diagramming, they're adopting the practice of putting the article with its noun on the same line with nothing in separating them, that's carried out here, except that now we've put a branch over here. Okay. And I suppose it could be done another way too. What you could do is just leave nothing on here, put hoi alphabetis there, and then put parentheses, hoi, something down here on this line, showing that it's governing that. That probably wouldn't be any problem either.
Okay. Next one was Luke 1:34. Luke 1:34. And we'll take a volunteer here if somebody's so inclined. But Mary said to the angel, "How is this to be, since I am not, since I'm having not knowing a man or whatever? So a man I am not knowing." This will be an interesting one because you do have indirect discourse or direct discourse here. So, any volunteers? Put it on the board. Die to self.
I figured out how I even do it, but I know I got it wrong.
Well, go ahead, Glenn. One of three options, so I figured the law of Occam's razor, the simple advantage was usually the one
accurate. Okay. So far, so good. Love it. Oh, that line is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Have to get out a drafting tool.
Thank you.
Okay. Any comments from anybody else? Or?
In my mind, I was debating whether that whole last section is counted as a direct object or not.
Okay.
I wasn't exactly sure. I think that's the way he counted it. I did it.
That was my problem.
A different way.
Okay. How did you do it, Mark?
I had,
did you describe it?
I had planning lines.
Okay.
Like that with
modifying verb 8 then there. Huh?
Right.
Okay.
But I don't know if that was.
Okay. Well, I think it really is when you have a verb of saying or thinking or something like that. The whole, you know, thing following as you're thinking is considered the object of the action. So he's done, you know, that correctly as far as placing that whole thing as a direct object. You'll even do this when you have direct location. And it's kind of artificial in a way. I can see what Mark's getting at, because I mean, you start off a sentence, the least important thing in the sentence is Miriam said, you know. But that forms your basic structure, and you put everything in this other category. But then that's when things break down into all this subcategory and so forth. So most of your work is going to be in that object position. If you if you have it dropping down and modifying APEN, that puts APEN in even more significant position, I think, in it also. Usually modifiers for verbs are more how something was done or when or at what time or so forth, not what was done. In other words, the thing of what was done is the thing that's receiving the action of being said. So this whole phrase is receiving the action of being said. Mary said this. So it's occupying the position of the object, the action, although it's a whole construction in itself. Okay, are there any other comments here? Let me just say this. The first part here, that, you know, the Miriam and so forth, up to the point of placing that whole structure in the object position is all fine. There is a problem with the structure of the latter part there. This is we haven't really seen this yet, so I didn't really expect you to get nailed down, but I'd like to talk about it a little bit so you can piece together what I'm getting at. John?
Well, I think he's taking it to subordinate conjunction or something, but it doesn't really join these two.
Okay, that's the key to it. The FA is a subordinating conjunction. And the way you have a diagram, it's functional like a coordinating conjunction.
There's no way else to do it.
Okay. See, we really haven't diagrammed one like this yet. So we really haven't put a subordinating conjunction. But remember, a subordinate conjunction is going to introduce a subordinate clause, which generally is going to be, you know, a full verbal, like what's been also there, you've got a full verbal clause. And so that is going to be generally modifying. Usually adverbially.
I know what to do.
Okay, go ahead.
I know what to do with it. I know what to do with it.
All right, let's do it.
I don't know where to. Okay, I'll do this.
Okay.
I'll put this here. Okay.
Okay.
And then,
that's your object. Okay.
And then I'll put this. This is going to look sort of funny because I have to place this over here. What I'm going to do is this. And so that'll put. Like that.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, and then FA goes here.
Okay, fine.
Right?
Yeah, that's basically the right thing, except that we do have a symbol for a full verbal clause.
Yeah.
Instead of using the standard there, you can, since it's a modifier,
right,
rather than not very.
This way?
Yeah, slant to the right.
Would FA still go on it?
Yeah, still goes right there. Exactly right. So slant to the right with FA on it. And that whole thing there is a subordinate clause modifying SI. So see, what you're saying is, how can this be since I do not know man, or have not known man? So the since is modifying SI. How can this be, you know, the question is, how can this be since? And the ground is being given as a modifier for the verb to be there. And that's the correct way to put a subordinate clause in there. Okay.
I have another question.
Yes.
What do I do with the U?
Okay, that's another point. The U is just a negative, and a negative is functioning like any other adjective to modify the noun. So just the best way to do it is just drop a nonverbal line.
Does that modify the noun or the verb?
The verb, I mean. I'm sorry, the verb. I should I meant the adverb here. U, just like any other modifier, in this case it's modifying a verb. Okay, so just put the U down on a line like that.
Yes.
Shouldn't that whole phrase then go up on a standard?
Yes, that's the next point here. This part of the phrase here goes up on a standard. Well, we'll put the dotted line here, continue it here, and I guess this would be the way to do it. We'll continue this line, this dotted line, at this point, make it solid, put it up on a standard. In other words, if we were doing it here, we put up on a standard this whole phrase here. And then this part, this portion, is attached to the verb of this phrase. So the phrase is, Mary says toward the angel, how can this be? And that's what she's saying, since I do not know a man, the since I do not know a man is modifying the how can this be, and that's all part of the statement that she's making. So this entire construction really is put in this position of the direct object.
Is that post in the right place?
Yes, the post is exactly right. It's analogous to this down here. This how can this be? And again, the problem here is that in English, you know, the how comes out in front of all of this. But this be, how, you know, how can this be? That's exactly where you diagram it. So this is an adverbial modifier. It's an interrogative adverb. So you're setting up a question. But in diagramming, questions don't look any different than statements. Okay. And this is the subject, and B is the verb, and so the post is just an adverbial modifier. Yes?
Yeah,
well, yeah, you would if... Well, I see. You put post up here in the line as a with a copy of the connector there. The problem there is that this isn't being placed in the position of a predicate nominative to this. It's just an adverbial modifier describing how the action was. Now, if it was, this is he or something like that, then you have the he over here inside on that line position. But since how can this be is just a word like how will fill in, fit into an object position like that. It's purely adverb. Okay, any other questions, observations on that? This is a good one because you had to deal with a subordinate clause. And you had to deal with a subordinate clause in a quotation, which is pretty nice. Yeah.
I had trouble seeing the... this looked like to me like a direct quote.
Okay.
And I had trouble seeing... It seems like what Mary said is a complete sentence in itself.
It is.
Explain to me again the logic of viewing it as a direct object.
Okay, it's a direct object only of this part of the phrase. It's the direct object of this phrase. Mary said something, and the thing that she said, you see, is the object of this verb. So that entire phrase, the thing that she said, occupies this object position. But that's why we use a standard, because that entire phrase is a complete sentence in its own right. In other words, the standard is used when either a combination of words or a phrase or an independent clause or anything is stuck in the position of an object or a subject or something like that. And so what we have is a completely independent clause here. How can this be, since I do not know man? It's a completely independent structure. This is actually, this here is actually a compound sentence. You've got an independent clause and then a dependent clause, subordinate clause. And that whole thing is occupying the position of the direct object of the verb said. And that'll be a typical way, you know, anytime somebody says something, it's a direct quote, or even if it's an indirect quote, said that, or, you know, with a hoti or something like that, you'll still diagram it pretty much the same way. Okay, anybody else? But that's the thing to remember here. And I think the problem in our minds is that we know what the impact of the sentence is. It's all this stuff down here. And this is just kind of an introducing thing, and we kind of read over that real quick, and this is the part we're really emphasizing. But technically, it is the object of the thing said, so you got to do something with this stuff up here. There isn't much else that can be done, because it is. Okay, any other questions? Okay, let me go to the next one then. We're Revelation 1:8. Have any bold volunteers for that one?
Revelation 1:8.
I'll give it a shot.
Okay. Go ahead, Mark. Take whichever board you want there and have at it.
I didn't necessarily search out the easiest person in the Bible. Maybe looking for using all the instructions.
All at once, too.
Yeah, sometimes. Yep. Describing the one who's speaking and not a part of the statement, I am. On the other hand, if you look at it the way John's discussing it, he's saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, the one who's God, you see. And so he's saying the Lord God. And then he's picking up with the statement again, the one being the one, you know, the one who is, the one who is to come, the Almighty, putting all of those together.
The reason I would do that primarily, I think, is because Kurios is an arthrous and the rest of them are articular, and that seems to set it apart and equate that's the only way to see that.
Okay.
No reason.
There is a breakup there, yeah.
Otherwise, you could even include and start with he said, have X, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, Lord, the God, the, you know, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's translated both ways, though.
Yeah, that's the point, see, because you both have a valid analysis here. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to see this one, is just that, you know, now suppose, let me just take a look at this, see if there's anything else I want to cover. If you take it this way, let's see, the basic structure over there is going to be the same way. That's correct. And, okay, main differences then are going to be where you put your positives. If you decide to do it the other way, the way I just mentioned, making all everything else, of course there's some other decisions to make too. You could even conclude that, oh, as a part of the whole thing, the saying the Lord, and then the God, the one being, one support. And you conclude that, or if you, a lot of translations take saying the Lord God, you know, and then put those as just a part of the ones who sang, so you put the fellows out in opposition to that. It gets to be kind of interesting. The problem is that when you have things in opposition like that, and strings of things in the nominal, regardless of which way you put it together, it still almost ends up the same. In other words, you're still identifying the one speaking with, you know, whether he's saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, or whether he, and then goes on to say, is saying the Lord, God, the one being, one is, that's still all an assertion that he is all of those things. So it just depends on whether it's part of his statement or not. And there's really not a huge argument that would force it one way or the other. I think you'd probably find in translation that render both ways. So if you did go the other route and wanted to put ho-on, ho-ein, ho-erkomenos, and ho-panto krator and so forth, all in that same structure, what you would do is over there where you have to-alpha and to-omega, instead of just a two-branch, you would have a number of shelves. And you start with, you'd have alpha on the first shelf, and then to-omega in the second shelf, and then ho-on, and then ho-ein, and then ho-erkomenos, and then ho-panto krator. And so you'd have, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shelves. I mean, 2 branches and 4 shelves, technically, and put that all together in that position, and then maybe even the whole fellows there too, depending how you render that. If you separate the whole fellows, you'd have that in that position, the 2 equal signs, 2 curios there, and then the rest of this would be all lumped over the other side. So I just want to give you the possibilities there. But it all depends on whether you include that other part as part of the statement, which. It's often what it's read, but certainly didn't demand it either way. Another interesting point. Notice that those participles there, ho-on, that's a participle, ho-erkomenos is a participle, but ho-ein, what's that?
Finite.
Yeah, it's a finite verb. And that's quite interesting there, because you normally expect a participle there, but it's an interesting expression. Just take the finite verb and put the article on it. Make it function like a noun.
Why would alpha be spelled out and omega just be represented by
that? Good question. Are there any manuscript variations on that?
No. Well, the manuscript variation is not in.
Okay.
Beginning and the end is added.
Mm-hmm.
First of all.
Oh, yeah.
RK,
hotels,
beginning and end.
Really, I don't have a good answer for that. I think it might be that once you spell it out the first time, alpha, it sets it real clear that you're speaking the letters of the alphabet, and then using that, you might be able to get back the omega following. But that may just be some, customary. customary expressions and so forth along the lines that they do that.
The only difference is that some take it as a unseal omega versus a minuscule.
Mm-hmm. There's only one other thing that might be a possibility in their mind. I'm only guessing here, but there's two O's in Greek, the Omicron and the Omega. And if they, in their pronunciation, just call this O, then we call it Omega now to distinguish between the Omicron. That may be the spelling of the letter, too, just O. That's all. Then that's maybe all they said, the Alpha and the O. But I'm not positive on that. Might check some commentaries on that, because they may have some things from classical Greek or something to clarify that for us. Okay.
Yeah. Good question.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, after Ego Amy, I had a straight line rather than a slanted line.
Okay.
Because I figured it was a direct object rather than equated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still confused.
Well, it's simply a matter of the verb in question. Since it is Amy, it is an equated verb by definition, pretty much. And so it says, I am something. He's not really describing an action that's receiving, you know, he's not performing an action on something that's receiving the action. And so it should be planted. It should be planted, just like he said here.
Second question, if ho'ein is a verb,
mm-hmm.
shouldn't there be a line slashed down between those?
Well, it's technically a verb, but because it's got the article on it, it is being made a substantive. And that article is turning it into a substantive in effect. So its function in the sentence is really a noun, even though it's a verbal form. So that's what's kind of interesting there. You'll see that real commonly with infinitives and with participles, of course. But you will also see it once in a while. With almost any kind of construction there is, they can put an article on it and make it function like a noun. And you'll see that sometimes with entire clauses or entire sentences, where they'll put an article out in front of the whole thing, and the whole thing will be considered a noun functioning. Of course, then you're going to put it on standard, usually, if it's in a position where it's a whole group of words. Yes, right.
When you see a sentence like this, how would you go about determining what your subject is? What case do you look for?
Well, that's a good one. Since everything's in a nominative case,
yeah.
I think one of the things is that you have those five rules for trying to decide. In an instance where you have predicate nominative construction, you have five key criteria for deciding which is the more definite. Basically, it's which is the more definite. Now, in this instance, we've got articles on almost everything here, so the article isn't going to help. But we do have ego as the pronoun. And a pronoun is always considered more definite just because of the fact that you can use a pronoun is testimony to the fact that the object in view is very clear from the context. And so I would opt for the pronoun as the thing that seems to dominate here, because see, everything else got the article in it. So you're not going to see any distinctions there. And word order isn't critical, but we do have, you know, we start off with ego and me, and then we have all of these things put in opposition to each other. So it's far more likely to have ego being the subject and have all these other things that are put together in common as being the object rather than the other way around. In other words, you're not going to say all these things are I, you know. Although, what difference does it really make, you know, as far as the equated verb construction is concerned. But then also the fact that you have, you know, say it's the Lord. Now, there's the subject of the of that clause, the cordials, and then the ego, you know, the Lord saying something, and if he's referring to himself, ego, that would be the natural thing to take as the subject of the predicate construction there. But there may be instances where it's real hard to decide. You know, you have some instances, maybe you'll have an articular noun on one side and an articular noun on the other side. Then you have to go to things like that are a lot more tenuous, like what was the thing mentioned in the previous context there? What's the more general reference? And of course, we saw the example in Getches that he and we differed as to what we thought was more general reference, you know. It was in the transgressional law or something like that. He said that three words or something, what we would think.
So the way Mark had it set up, we actually have three groups of a positive and a negative.
Right. Now you could do this, I suppose, even the way Mark set it up, you'd probably Let's see. Well, I see the reason why he's done this. The people Ponto Grantor doesn't have a tie with it, so that's probably fine, just the way he said it up there. Put both at O's, and then this group of three quasi verb forms that are connected by ties as one unit, and then Ponto Grantor as another unit. I suppose it'd be possible also even to put all five of those things on a branch, and then just not put the ties between them. But I kind of like this better, just because it's setting up separate units. It's the way I would do it. That way.
I'm trying to visualize how it would be the other way that John was suggesting.
Okay.
What
the diagram would look like.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll show you here. Now this is assuming that we're taking everything as a part of the statement. The quotation, apart from, well, say, Koryos Hopeos. And what I did on this, let's see, does everybody have this part down? So I'll just erase this and set it up. I think I can still work with this. What I did here is I took it pretty much the way John has here. And I put Hopeos out here in opposition to Koryos. So it says the Lord God. Although you could also consider this as one of the many of these things that are put on the shelf. Okay, now over here, the only difference would be to make this a bigger branch here. Put your alpha up here. Let's see, you have the alpha. So alpha. And so omega. And then there was a chi here. And then without a chi, excuse me, ho-ain, another shelf, and ho-erchomenos, another shelf, and then ho-panto-kretor. I'm going to really put this all on here. I'll just ho-panto-dash here. Okay, and so putting all of these on a stack here, because this would be indicating that he's saying, his statement is, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the one who was, who is, and is to come, the Almighty. And putting those all in that position. Now, as I said, you might even take this whole bell and stick it over here, whatever order it came, I guess.
He says it doesn't have a chi on it. He's kind of put it before. Same with
the
Pantocrator. Since it doesn't have a chi, I stuck it on the end.
Yeah.
It kind of doesn't.
This order isn't going to be that critical as long as you get the chi between the things that they do come between. There should have been a chi here. Well, on chi, a chi here, and a chi here.
For stacking, you don't have to have chi's for everything?
No, not necessarily. If they're still there, you just leave a dotted line if there's no actual connective stated. But if the function of the thing is connective, just by virtue of the fact that it's an apposite, they're strung together like this with commas. Just like in English, we put things together with commas and so forth. We set it up that way. Yes?
It's a minor point, but there is a distinction here between Hotheos, Hopantokrator, and all the rest of them, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be that Hotheos is, if I can say it this way, in opposition to Tau Alpha Chi Tau Omega,
mm-hmm,
as a whole, and then it's in opposition also to Ho'on Chi Ho'ain Chi Ho'erchomenos,
mm-hmm,
as a whole, and then Ho'pantokrator is also in opposition to those things as an entirety. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so
there is a way to do that.
And, well, that's what I did. I've got that,
yeah,
bracketed, and I come down and do. And
this is probably what you're doing then.
And bracketed and then.
Right. Start off here and make a.
Because
what you can do is set brackets on both sides like this, kind of come
like
down like this.
It's equating that Tau Alpha is equivalent to Ho Theos, which, see, it's, like I said, it's almost a minor point, but there's a distinction still that's,
yeah,
drawn.
I can see exactly what you're saying here. You can start off here with Alpha and Omega, and then you have your. Oh, that's just two there. And then you have your three branch thing here. The Ho'on, Ho'ain, and Ho'erchomenos, and then have Ho'pantokrator, Ho'theos, and so forth, set up an apposition all to Koryos there. Or, excuse me, not even Koryos, but over here.
Yeah.
And the same thing could be done away with Mark's setup there, too. You pretty much
had that, you know, had things grouped already, but yeah, it's pretty much the same with what he did.
It preserved that distinction more clearly.
Well, you can't help but see, but just because of the fact that you've got these three quasi-verbal things, and they're tied together, and Alpha and Omega are obviously tied together, you've got three units here. And so it might be best to describe them that way. I think that would actually be superior to this. Yes.
Well, that just presumes, though, then, that all that stuff that comes after kurios in the sentence is actually part of this quotation, but
right.
It doesn't read that way.
Okay,
that's the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go ahead and equate them; they're all equated, but in the form of, you know, breaking the sentence down, it's not actually part of the quotation. I mean, you can't, because it's like there's a quotation, and if that says, I don't know, da 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 da.
Well, the point is the debate, you know, in these two positions is that you can be starting a quotation and then pause to tell you who's saying it and then continue
it. We do that
yeah.
In English all the time.
Yeah. And that's the way most are rendering if you take that position. If you don't take that position, then you're in the position that Mark took, is taking the first part of the quotation, I am the Alpha and the Omega, saith the Lord, and then the rest of those phrases are appositional to the Lord, just further descriptions of that. The net result, you know, is still going to be that you're going to be theologically identifying all of those things. It's just whether or not he's stating that at that time or whether the narrative is giving the information.
In which case he's stating.
Yeah, right. He's stating it. No, but I think John's got a good point here. That's what, you know, looking at this, I would opt for really having this way to group these together. And so you could just put your branches here and then put an apposition to those, the rest of these.
Mm-hmm. Two questions. First one is, in English, we can easily spot a quotation because it's Mark.
Right.
And I guess in Greek, there's no hint. You've just got to figure out.
Yeah, you have a bit of a problem, more of a problem in Greek, is that usually you look for key words like apen and so forth, and then you also have, you know, the hoti. But oftentimes the hoti will introduce a direct quotation. In fact, oftentimes it's real hard to tell the difference between an indirect quotation and a direct quotation in Greek. Sometimes we might go along and we'll just translate, he said that, such and such, such and such. Another time, same phrase, we might, he said that, quote, such and such, such and such. You have to kind of look for cues sometimes in the statements themselves and the verb forms that are in the statements. And the bottom line is that there may be many times differences of opinion on translators. But as far as the impact, as far as what, you know, the total meaning is concerned, it doesn't make much difference whether you take it as a direct quote or whether you take it as an indirect discourse type of situation.
And also, in this situation, if you take it as being, like John has, or if you take it as being appositional,
mm-hmm.
Do you see any shade of difference, too, as far as...
Well, there's a shade of difference, certainly. You know, it's... theologically, the bottom line, I think, is still going to be the same. But there could be a question as to whether, you know, how intimate the connection is being suggested. If his assertion is simply, if his assertion is only, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, then the information that we are given is that he's also these other things, is given. We have that truth, but we don't have quite the same emphasis on, say, the own, the ain, and their homonos part. But if that's also part of what he's stating, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was, the one who is, the one who is to come, the Almighty, that's all part of his assertion there in the text, there's maybe a little bit more emphasis on it. That's why I think it's more a matter of emphasis than anything else, since it all is part of inspired scripture, and since the information that would be given by these appositional statements would be inspired anyway. I mean, you still have the same net result theologically. In other words, if you're talking about the nature of Jesus Christ and who he is and so forth, it's not going to make much difference. I know the Jehovah's Witnesses hate to have this Pantocrator associated with Christ, and so they have some problems with this verse, and of course they've got some ways of trying to skirt the issue. But you see, if you have the Alpha and the Omega here identified, and then you have other scriptures that connect the Alpha and the Omega with Jesus Christ, and then you got Alpha and Omega here in opposition to Almighty, you know, they're in trouble. But of course, they're in trouble anyway. Yeah, see.
And by the variant, they didn't stack a couple more problems on them.
Right.
The beginning and the end.
The beginning and the end would be stuck in there also. And that would probably be done best the way that John suggested here, grouping them together, whichever side of this you put it on. The beginning and the end I would probably group together also, because they've got certain elements in common. In other words, this isn't just a stack of similar things. There's sets of them. And so I would probably opt for not setting it up this way, but setting it up in those groups. Okay. You can see, again, this isn't an exact science, but the diagramming will sometimes help you to see what your options are, too. And the diagram in the sentence both ways might be instructive sometimes for your thought process. But the whole thing issues on how much of this is a quote, how much of it isn't. And if we had quotation marks in Greek, you know, it might be a lot easier to step, you know, to decide, which is the case, if we don't have that, so there's difference of opinion. You could probably compile a lot of translators and say it, you know, both sides. New World over here says, I am Alpha and Omega, says Jehovah God, the one who is, the one who is coming, the one, the Almighty. They put the last part in quotations also. So they're taking all of this as a statement that's being made. King James, I think it's kind of hard to say which way they're going to take it there. They don't use quotation marks. What's that?
TR, that's a different thing.
What does? Is the word order completely different?
Well, it's just changing on the UBS on the punctuation. John had it left out the whole text with the two commas there.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's a different text, TR and AV.
Okay.
So you're probably going to see text variations there too in punctuation. So, whatever, depending on what you were looking at, that might color the way you diagram it as well. Okay, well that was an interesting one.
Lots of nominatives in that one, but everything's nominative. All right, what other one did I get? Give you Colossians 4:1. That one, okay.
Anybody volunteers for that?
Somebody different who hasn't been up here yet, so we can. So we can all die to self together. Okay, Dale. Appreciate that. Thank you.
good. The only thing I'll change is the OT there. By convention, you just put that on the line as a standard. We'll see where your OT is. Just erase it off of that and just put it kind of right across the line in the middle there of the standard. That's just the best kind of conventional thing. So.
That Kai is acting in the
and yeah. Yourself also, the Kai under you mate there?
Yeah.
Yourself also have the Lord in you. Okay, other than that, it's, I don't find anything wrong. Any comments?
I was wondering, isn't there an object mark graph for Maria Krista?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, there should be one there. After Farak has the, yeah, he crossed up in there. There should be a vertical line before your branch, because that is your object. The split object, yeah, right there. Good. Okay. Notice we've got evocative stuck up on the shelf. Old masters, you know, he's addressing the masters. And then an ek, either an ect or a humate there for your subject. And then Parek is there to give beside or to...
Would you put an x-ray, don't think, at all, as a...
Well, you don't really need to since it is a participial phrase. And your vertical line coming down there, since it's connected up there, you don't really need to put anything there. It's, that's usually if you've got a stated separate subject for the participle. So, and since it is a circumstantial participle, you know, you get this kind of more of an adverbial sense to it this way. So, so masters deal out or whatever, you know, I don't know how King James translates that. Lizard is the half side, para on echo. But, yes,
well. After Edo test, I did not have a short vertical line there because I figured that the rest of this was describing or elaborating on how they know
okay.
The object of it.
Well, it is again. It's knowing something, knowing that, knowing this fact, knowing the fact that you see, and this whole thing is the fact that you're knowing something, knowing that this it's very similar to the discussion before with saying something. Verbs of saying, knowing, perception, and so forth are very often said like this. So it's the same kind of concept. Marsh?
I don't recall. Does it matter? Could that standard be is it just for the sake of room that we put it below? Or
yeah.
Could it be?
That's only just convenience. It could be above the line where it just would be really good. Depends on where your room is, not where you can fit it in. So the standard can go either above or below the line. And you put it above the line, you still put OT in, you know, midway up. Way down. Okay, let me give you just a couple of other ones if you want for fun tomorrow. This is so much fun, we just can't stop. But we'll just give you, this will be the last group of them. These are all in Colossians. Colossians 4, 5, 3, 4, and 3:20. Colossians 4, 5, 3, 4, and 3:20. Well, we just work up to... Now that you've gotten all these, it's... Okay, and then Jim and Steve.